Okay, first of all, welcome back to all the Yedidim from last year's Chabura, and welcome to all the new additions. First of all, everything that we're saying, halacha, Be'ez Hashem, La halacha, but a small change in circumstance could change the halacha. So don't keep your ammunition at home right now. Every shaila has its individual pratim, and a small change, even if I give a case, a small change in circumstances can make a change in the din. So don't. And of course, this is supposed to be Masir is a 3-week topic. This is week one. If Rabbi didn't tell me to say this, but if someone informs on him, and you see next week we switch topics, so you'll know whoever's missing is the one who spilled the beans. But okay, like any halachas, if we don't know the halachas, we can stumble pretty badly. Even more so when it comes to Hilchos Mesira. On one hand, Ein Lo Chelek Olam Haba, it's pretty much all stakes game. On the other hand, there's sometimes where you're chayev to do things that would, at first hand, maybe think would be under the banner of Mesira. So, again, being the first week and only doing a little bit of the Maram HaKayim so far, it's hard to really give a full appreciation of a lot of the dinim. But we'll try today to say a few halachas that are more examples, that are more shchiach, that good people, not the guy who decided to be a mummer and work for the government and try to get all the yidin. I'm talking about good yidin that do all the other Tariq mitzvahs, and they get in the heat of an argument or under pressure of a situation, they think of some eitzes where sometimes it comes to the level of Mesira. Sometimes we'll see that it's something that you're chayev to do. So we'll give a few examples of some things that are a little more common. One, just coming off of the summertime, this happens very often, unfortunately, like every summer. But a person has an illegal day camp, and a housewife has it in their house, backyard. They have an illegal day camp, and everyone gave deposits during the year in order to come to the day camp, and all of a sudden someone's changes planned. Their plans change. Changed and they're not going to be coming, so they ask for their $200 deposit back, and the head of the camp says no. It said very clearly, non-refundable. We held a spot for you. Now we have to look and find someone else. That's why it said it was non-refundable. I'm sorry, you can't get your $200 back. And even though the guy knew it and he agreed to it, but he really wants his $200 back. So the argument gets a little more heated, and basically, who has the leverage at this point? It's the guy who's holding the money, right? The camp is holding the money. So what's the leverage that the only leverage that a person can think of? He's going to say, well, listen, it's an illegal day camp in this person's house. If I call up the whatever department is in charge of that, they'll come down, they'll close it down. So that's it's not worth the $200 for that camp owner to risk such a thing. That's how I'm going to get my money back. So often they'll tell the person, listen, if you're going to if you're not going to give me my $100 back, I'm gonna tell them that you have an illegal day camp here. You're gonna get fined. You're gonna get closed down. Give me my $100 back. So right then, you have to, if the person came to the shiur, the person owned the camp, so they'll know that it's not so pushit, to in our days, they close down your camp. It's not gonna come to kill you probably. It's not gonna get so bad. So Mistama, they won't. They won't kill you. Even the person said, "I'm going to inform Mistama." They won't go too far. And I don't know if you had the chance.
Sure, he's making a benefit. He's not doing it just to make trouble. He's doing it because he's getting a benefit.
No. There's no head to do it for just because there's a benefit. What I was bringing down, there is a makom in halacha in some situations, which hopefully, again, it's hard during the first year to get to everything. But basically, over here, his kavana is to be mazik. The person, he's just using this hezik as leverage. It's like someone going, saying, listen, if you don't give me X, I'm going to slash all your car tires and bust your windows. That one has nothing to do with the other. When it's more intertwined, which, again, first year is always difficult, but over here, it's definitely, according to everyone, it would be an issue of you're threatening damage in order to use that as leverage for something else. So again, if a first person had to be worried if he's going to threaten such a thing, because maybe the person would be a kanoi, wouldn't be a Talmud Chacham. If the person's a kanoi, he just might have learned Shulchan Aruch. Says, "Oh, you're hugging us. I feel, you know." But now I don't know if you had a chance. Did you do the Meiri on the second page?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you know, basically, you know, in the Alta Haim, you know, Alta Haim, there was a problem with the Mesira. You took the guy to a mikvah for an extended tefillah. But you know, in today's day and age, you know, the law enforcement is a lot more sophisticated to figure out, you know, cause of death and everything, and it's to put yourself in a chance, a sakana, that you're going to end up going to prison and everything. I mean, it's not kedai for your $200 deposit. I mean, that's not the way we do it. But let's say the person's not a Talmud Chacham, you know, you have to be worried, because, you know, even, first of all, you know, with some guy who's willing to give up his Olam Haba for his $200, right? And that's why he's willing to do this. But you also have to worry about also that, you know, maybe the person is a kanoi, you know, they don't know this Pisrei Chayish, and they don't know the Miri. They're just going to go, and you know, you have to be careful about it, yeah.
Can you be moiser, that person? Bale orgocha, bale moiser, hashkem moiser. Can you go ahead and do exactly what you wanted to do? Not kill him, but give him over.
Right. So this guy would have a din of a moiser.
The guy who runs the little camp.
If that's going to stop, again, we have to get related. If it's going to stop, if it's going to stop him, right? So then there would be a makom and halacha to do that. That would be more when your reason would come in. You know, in business, being member Maisa, they were talking about Kanoi and Talmud Chacham. So they say when the Satmar Rav appointed the Minchas Yitzchak to be the head of the Eidah Charedis, so our people had tainas that the Minchas Yitzchak wasn't a Kanoi enough, you know, and people were upset. The Satmar Rav, you should have picked someone, you know, the Charedis. You need a little more, you know, a little more Kanoi. So the Satmar Rav said, it's easier to make a Kanoi, a Talmud Chacham into a Kanoi, than it is to make a Kanoi into a Talmud Chacham. So if a person to get his $200 deposit back does go ahead and do the Mesira, so obviously, he not only is he in big trouble, Olam Haba, but even Olam Hazeh, he has a big problem. Why? Because in many cases, including this example that I gave, the Maiser is Chayev for all the Hefsedim that he caused. He's a Mazik. He just caused the Hefsed. The person has to close their camp, refund whatever money, and can't open up for years to come. Now go try to figure out what monetary compensation now you have to give to... If you want to do tshuva, right, you just cause the damage. You know, you bust the guy's car, you have to pay to fix the car. So you just kill this guy for thousands and thousands of dollars of income. That's something which is, you know, it's expensive. So it's not only is it dangerous, it's also expensive. That's more the deal of the machus is shia, but basically, this has to do with
with us. Sensation.
I mean, Adina de Machusa probably says you don't have to give anything. But it comes into play in certain situations. But again, first week is always a little difficult, so please bear with me. I just want to give a few examples of things that a Shkiach, again, even by, you know, otherwise, you know, Yeshemayim. Also, it's very common where a person is extending their house, putting on an extension or something, and they didn't file for the proper permits, and the neighbor is either jealous or doesn't like it because he thinks that it is perceived that might be harming his ability to enjoy his own place, or maybe it truly is. You know, harming his ability for his own chase. So again, there's a place for that in Beis Din to get him to stop. But just to go ahead and call up the buildings department to have them come down. That's a pure Mesira.
I was building a house and I asked them three times to put a fence around.
Right.
And my kids, I was worried that they would go
into
that.
Right.
They were just like ignoring me, so
right.
I can't go to the building and say, please ask them.
No. You go to Beis Din first, right? And Beis Din will contact them and say, you know, there's a machlokes. The neighbor's saying that there's a danger, and you're hired to put up a fence.
You have to go to Beis Din to
try to get the guy. Again, Beis Din is a last resort. you want to try to work it out amicably, you know, neighbors. And you're talking about the person that is just not dealing with you.
We're gonna
let me go a little further, and hopefully we'll get more to that. Let's give some examples where Masira.
Building the problem is not the government. It's the issue of the student maintenance.
Well, no, the building department is controlling the money.
So see, Maiser
is not just a governmental authority. Maiser is whenever you're being Maiser to another guy. Meaning, you could have a guy who's a big bandit and pirate, and if you show that pirate where this yid's money is, that's also part of the din masira. That's also again. It's an expanded topic, Mr. Hashem. You know, again, week one is always a little difficult. Let's give a few examples where Masira, what would look like to be Masira, is sometimes even a Chiyuv. Number one is, it happens sometimes a teacher or a doctor sees a child that has serious physical abuse. Signs ad kedei kach that it's, you know, pikuach nefesh, he has, you know, burn marks on him and other serious marks. So then again, you always have to ask a shala, and you can't just base it off of this thing. But in general, we say it's usur to let the child go back home to the parents. Yechayev to call, the only way you can get the child away from the parents, you can't just take him and kidnap him in our days. You have to go through the authorities in order to get it done properly. You have to do it to tell the authorities in such a situation. Again, you have to ask a shayla, but I'm talking about a situation that's a severe situation. You have to tell the authorities, even if the authorities will place him in a goyish environment. Even though, you know, they take the kid away, they put him in some, you know, foster situation or a temporary, you know, housing situation. Even though it's going to be in a gracious situation, when it comes to pikuach nefesh, you're chayiv to these parents have a din of a raidev, so you're chayiv to get this kid out of there. As opposed to, and again, Mitzvah is chayiv to find solutions to cases like that. You know, they have organizations like Old Children's Home where they make sure to take these kids and put them in a firm environment. So, but I'm saying in a city where they don't have such a setup, it's something you still have to get the give the kid back to the parents. As opposed to on the flip side, if there's some type of minor thing, a kid breaks his leg and it goes to the doctor, and they always have to ask the parents, well, how did it happen? And if the story doesn't exactly fit with the damage on the kid, so then a lot of times, you know, they'll inform the authorities. That's you have to ask a big shayla when it comes to that, because there was a little damage, you know, maybe the kid got spanked once too hard or whatever it is, but you know, doesn't look like it's life threatening, doesn't look like it's a ongoing situation. A lot of times that would be part of the issa masira. You wouldn't be allowed to, just because the guy has something minor and you're not sure how it happened, to tell the authorities. Isn't so pashut. Yeah.
No, in a case, let's say somebody, just as this week, in ballpark, somebody has in the basement, is running like those pharmacies, those Yiddish pharmacies, that they have medicine for all kinds of things. They are, and the guy looks at it, gets this medicine, it's a medicine that on the web, it's not always for lactating women, for women who are nursing, to help lactating, but he looks at the web, and this is actually dangerous for lactating women. Is he allowed, or is he mechuyev to go to the authorities to stop a guy to running those underground pharmacies?
Okay.
The
kids, if they're not properly taken care of.
Right, it's also the same idea. In other words, because the question is, what do you do?
Okay.
Right, because if somebody's running quote unquote an illegal daycare, he doesn't have fire, what you call, I'm sure he's not following the fire code.
Right. Right. So again, so the illegal day camp, I'll give an example. We have to look. Again, it's not a partial thing, but we have to look and see exactly what kind of dangers. Of course, obviously, when it's done with all the proper, it should be done with all the proper, you know, codes, etc. Everything should be done the right way. But saying if it isn't, for example, you have to have, I think, two exits if you want to be a legal child daycare, right? You know, if you're, let's say in the basement, right? You have to do it. And they only have one exit, like most people's basements, they only have one exit out. So that's not, you can't call the operator a roideif in such a situation because there's only one exit. You know, that's not it's not up to the same type of care that maybe that the government would require, but it doesn't make that person a roideif that we can be meiser on them. You know what I'm saying? In order to be meiser on someone, it has to be a din of a roideif. It has to have a serious thing. Just because it's not, so if the person was selling medicine that there's a reaction, 1 in 5,000 women, I don't know if that's din roideif, but even if he is selling something that is wrong, so it doesn't mean, oh, okay, we're allowed to be meiser. We have to try to stop the situation. The first way, we go to the guy and tell him, you know, listen, you can't, you know, this is really dangerous, this, that, the other thing, you know, and he'll probably, you know, if chas v'shalom, something goes bad, he'll have the authorities all over him. So, you know, it's in his best interest as well not to peddle something that can hit him.
Deciding to have a guy stopped before the FDA, there's limited number of agents of the FDA, limited number of agents of the Department of Health. And we've seen where we didn't stop other people that then they continued.
Right, so he should.
For 20 years, right, until they were finally placed.
So he should be stopped via the. Again, we're not talking an emergency situation where there's definitely a downside, so he should be stopped, but that doesn't allow us to be meiser yet. There's a lot of other.
By what though?
By what? By if the Rabbanim, we want to, you know, say, listen, this guy's.
I mean, you got language, but it's very effectual. I've been to many beds. Building code violations is not something beds are even gorgeous in the room of reality.
If the guy did his electricity wrong, but it's working just fine. And we can't be mice.
We have building code violations because the number of times they do go wrong is that people have building codes. The fire department comes in there, they have these rooms not even
I understand, but most, again, you know, let's talk about it a little bit after. I want to finish through a few things with a limited time that we have. Anyway, let's go some more things. Let's say you see an Israeli breaking into your neighbor's house, right? He's going to rob your neighbor's house. He's breaking into your neighbor's house, and you know he's Israeli, right? You hear them speaking in Hebrew, both Ganavim, right? As they're going in, so and he gave to the Vada Rabbanan, and you know the whole thing. Okay, fine. So Shabbat Shalom b'chol inyanim. Yeah. Okay. So the halacha is if he's breaking in. So he has a din of Baba Machteres. So Baba Machteres already has a din of Misa. He's already Mufkal Misa. So therefore, they bring down the place. And if you're afraid that someone could be inside, you know, it could be a Sakana Dika situation, you're allowed to call up the police because he's already Mufkal Misa. By breaking in, by being a Baba Machteres, he becomes Mufkal Misa. So you're not being Misa anyone that's alive. You're being Misa someone that's already Mufkal Misa. That's something that would be
what they're going to.
Can you kill him yourself? I think only the owner can kill, right? Someone else can kill Baba Machteres?
But what if no one's home?
No one's home, then he's not.
Well,
right. No, you don't know. If you're chayshish,
you don't know one's home.
Okay, so we're going to see next week habitual raidfim have a different din than one timers. Okay, obviously just because it's been big in the. People schmoozing about if chas v'shalom a teacher is abusing a child, so that's something that again you have to look at the situation and see if there's, you know, truly a chash. Again, sometimes it has to go to Mesirah, but most of the times it doesn't have to go to Mesirah. For example, you fire the teacher, they're no longer at the school. You mafasim, everyone has to stay away from this person. There's a lot of other ways to dealing with it. Just Rabbi said it, but just to repeat it, Mesira is not is not a punishment. We're not in the punishment business. We're in the prevention business. So Mesira is really only mutter in almost all cases. It's only mutter when it is mutter. It's only mutter in a situation where it's preventing, when the person has a din of a roidif, and we're preventing him from being roidif for other people, or her from being roidif for other people. But it's not an inyan of punishment. Oh, he did this, he deserves to get punished. We're not in the punishment business. The Baruch Shalom's in the punishment business. I'm sorry?
We're stopping
a
person.
Right, that's what we said. We're to stopping a person, right. That's what it is. So, for example, if you're afraid it's going to, once it's done, it's done. But if you're afraid it's going to be done again, that's when. So, they have situations where, like I said, you know, they don't allow, you know, if they're not sure what the situation is, they won't allow the teacher to be unattended, in you know, without another adult, you know, around or other situations. But you know, but in general, you know, you get rid of the person. You know, he loses his panasa, and that's life in the big city. I mean, that's yeah.
We have a practical issue in the cloud number. Someone who, of course, I'll mention name. He was mezaket the rabbin, all Jews in America, and sponsoring publications of sfarim or books or whatever. And then unfortunately became a moiser. And you have a know from those books that are already out? They don't take any more money from him.
Meiser that doesn't make everything else about Hana. I mean, whatever he's chayv to pay, or he's chayv for other things, there's no.
So why did in the past we have no issue of using it?
Not to my knowledge. Again, if they want to geyser al sachumra al to you know, if the Beis Din wants to, you know, in order to bring the matter home more, it wants to do some type of knas. It's not really chayv al pi din, just to discourage people from you know, doing what that person does. So then, you know, that would be within their realm. But in terms of the din, however, for example, let's say you have, it does make a difference if the guy is still a current meiser. Let's say the guy says, "I'm going to be meiser. I'm going to tell him the day camp," right? And now you're doing hachnas a sefer Torah, you're running a sefer Torah. So the halacha is what in your day a sefer Torah. A meiser is also to write. It's not kosher to write a sefer Torah. So you can't have him fill in your ice if he's in the mesirah status. He's saying he's going to be meiser if he fills in an ice, and then he was meiser. So you gotta do that. You gotta do that letter over. It's a din of a meiser. Just in the last 2 minutes that we have left.
Just going back to the example, when the person was breaking in and there's nobody in the house. So we said that that shouldn't be done because there's nobody in the house. There's nobody.
No. We said the din of meiser on a one-time thing. However, because it's often, as we'll see next week again, it's very hard the first week. No, that's okay. But we'll see. Someone's habitual meiser. We know the guy's going to rob the next house and the next house. Okay. So then we'd be allowed to call the police if, you know, the situation. We would assume the guy's a criminal. That, you know, that's his panasa. You know, he does it regularly. So then we'd be allowed to call the police. As opposed to if it's a one time thing. You know, this guy has I don't know. I mean, again, each situation it really is not the right form to address specific situations. We just want to give general guidelines so people will know how to ask a shaila, when to ask a shaila, and realize what the issues involved are. Okay, just a few general rules for as we go along for the Maamar Kaimis for the next 2 weeks. Some things to keep in mind when the Maamar Kaimis are being done is, in general, the rule is that you're allowed to stay away from damage. From damage coming to you, but once the damage already comes to you, you're not allowed to push it off on someone else. So, for example, if the case in the Gemara, your field is flooded, and you want to drain out the field, so you can't open up a opening in your field, so all the water will go drain into the neighbor, you know, down the hill. That's even though the damage came on you, once damage came on you, you can't go and now get the damage off your back and pass on to somebody else. That would be a din of a mazik. Again, it's also involved in the din of mesira. We're talking about passing on damages to other people, as opposed to if it's your basement floods all the time, every time it rains, and you call a contractor down, and he says, "Oh yeah, there's a crack in your foundation, so every time the water comes down the block, it all drains into your basement." So the contractor says, "You know, if you want, I'll take some cork and I'll just fill up the hole, but you know, next time it rains, the rain's going to bypass your house and go hit the next guy who has a crack in his foundation, and it's all going to dump into the next guy's basement. So that would be mutter and halacha. Why? Because the damage didn't come on you yet. It didn't rain yet. You're just blocking damage from occurring to you. It's something that you're allowed to do. Of course, you should tell your neighbor if you suspect that damage might come to him later, to let him know, to watch out for that. But that's something that would be allowed to do. So there's just a quick shiloh that was came up a few times. We started the new yeshiva season, so a lot of smart parents, they try to negotiate classes for their children, and you know, they find out a few days before school, you know, and there's, let's say, three parallel classes, and this one has the good Rebbe, and you find out that your kid got into the wrong, is not slated to be in the correct class. So the shiloh came up, a few people had, was I can speak to the Anhala, they'll switch my kid and put him into the good class or with the good kids, but then it's going to, consequently, they're going to take someone from the good class and put them in, you know, with the behemoths in the other class. So, like, am I allowed to do that because I'm causing damage to somebody else? So the answer is, without getting into more details, but from what we just said, certainly before school started, it's certainly mutter because the damage didn't come out yet. But really, it's mutter for other reasons anyway. So it's not a shiloh. Even if school already started and you want to switch your kids somewhere else, and you know the Hanhala is now going to, you know, ruin it for somebody else because of you, that's all mutter again. Hopefully we'll get to the reasons as we go along. Okay, Mr. Shem, we'll save the next for next week. Ashakaya.